Hi, this is Jackie Wicks with Peer Trainer, and I'm here with Joshua Wayne. And we're in part two of our series on emotional eating. And I just want to repeat a couple things that we covered in session one. We talked about viewing emotional eating as just a problem, not something that's permanent, but something that's just a problem that you use the skills, the normal skills that you use during the day to solve other problems. It can be viewed in the same way, and when you look at it as just a problem that you have to solve, your brain starts to come up with the resources and the information to actually solve it versus being helpless and thinking that it's something permanent. We talked about viewing this in the context of are you engaged in emotional eating to replace something, or are you doing it to avoid something? And again, we asked you that question the next time you feel like, oh, I've got to go get a large pizza. Is it because you're doing it to replace something that's missing, or are you avoiding something? And again, I always want to reiterate this, that you might just want a slice of pizza because you want a slice of pizza. It doesn't necessarily always mean that something deep and dark and something that needs to be worked out is going on. But if you do think about it, and it does seem like something deeper is going on, it's always good to check in with yourself and ask yourself those two questions. So what we want to focus on in this session is emotions. You know, actually the emotions in emotional eating. It's interesting because many times we have control during the day, or we have control in other areas of our life. But when it comes to suddenly craving massive amounts of food, all that discipline and control has gone out the window. And what is going on there? Sometimes it's because you have no idea what's going on in terms of how you're feeling. You don't know if you're feeling sad. You don't know if you're feeling angry. You don't know if you're feeling upset. It's interesting because Daniel Goleman wrote this book. It's called Emotional Intelligence. And it was basically about this. There were so many people that were studied that had a really high IQ, really high on the, what we had viewed as the intelligence quotient. But the people that had emotional intelligence, control over their emotions, control to not act on an impulse, were more successful. And the first part of that success was actually understanding what you were feeling. You know, am I feeling unhappy? And once you actually understood, and again, this is the first part of it, if you actually understood your emotions, they weren't this monster that you were at the mercy of. It was something that you could control. I mean, think about it for a second. This is a very typical thing. When someone says, hey, what are you feeling? The person might answer, you know, I gave my husband one thing to do, one thing, go drop off the clothes at the dry cleaner. And I did everything else, and that one thing couldn't get done. Now, notice something in that response. There was not one emotion in that response. It was just words of what the husband had done, nothing about what the wife had been feeling. You know, she was feeling upset or disappointed or angry. And, of course, she could have been feeling a multiple different feelings, all intertwined.
The thing is that so often we do that. We have an intellectual explanation or just a story around what happened rather than actually being in touch with the actual feeling. And the truth is that if you really boil feelings down, it's actually fairly simple. You're either sad, mad, glad, scared, or ashamed. And, of course, there's variations of those things. You could be sad. You could be depressed. You could be really in a funk. If you're mad, you could be angry, you could be really pissed off. If you're scared, you could be terrified. If you're feeling ashamed, you could feel humiliated or really embarrassed or something like that. There's always, of course, variations. But if you really boil it down, it's just a few basic things. But we often just have that story, or we want to tell the story of exactly what happened to us, and it distances us more from the emotion. And it doesn't help us get more in touch with, develop the self-awareness that we're talking about in terms of emotional intelligence, to first just be aware of what's actually going on. You know, if I said to you, go outside for a second, wearing a T-shirt or wearing a tank top, go outside and tell me what the air feels like on your skin. It may take you a little bit of practice, but if you did it enough and you really thought about it, you'd be able to describe to me exactly what the air feels like. Maybe it feels cool and breezy. Maybe it feels warm and humid. Maybe the air feels heavy. Maybe the air feels light. You could come up with all different kinds of ways of describing it, but you'd always be able to come up with some simple explanation of what the air actually feels like. And emotions are basically the same way. There's always something going on. There's always some undercurrent. So if you're not real familiar with what the actual emotions are that are going on for yourself, then just keep it very simple. And just the simplest way that I know to remember that is just to think in terms of sad, mad, glad, scared, or ashamed, because it comes back to one of those five basic things.
And how do you start understanding how you're feeling? It's interesting because my son went in for his first day of kindergarten, and I saw everybody did this piece of paper. There was a circle on there that you were to draw a face, and it said, "I'm feeling blank about my first day of kindergarten." And my son wrote excited, and many kids wrote all different things. One wrote scared. One thing wrote, I was miserable. And it's interesting at the age of five that they're all going in and they're writing the expression. They're going into their first day of school and they're able to be asked, "What emotion are you feeling?" And they're writing down an emotion. They're checking in at a random time during the day. And it's interesting because that is one of the principles that Goldman teaches. You know, again, what's the key concept here? Checking in, finding out what's going on. If you know what's going on, if you can put some word to that emotion, right, it is, again, you're no longer at the mercy of it. You're no longer at the mercy of, "I have no idea what's going on. All I know is that I need a large pizza right now." It's really not what's going on. What's going on is that you're feeling something. Goldman says one of the greatest steps, one of the greatest things that you can do is check in with yourself randomly during the day. Really just randomly. It could be 10 o'clock. It could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Just a few times a day that suddenly you say, "Hey, what am I feeling right now?" You might be surprised at the first response because you might have a response similar to that woman. It might not have an emotion on there. And when sometimes that happens, because I've seen people go through this, they almost get really excited. They get hope. They say, "Wow, this really is interesting. I haven't known how I was feeling." You might be surprised because you've never put a name on that emotion. Again, here's what we're talking about, and here's the one thing that we want you to take away from this call. The first step to have control over these impulses, over this emotional eating episode, is to check in with yourself and find out what's going on. So that's what we want you to do. Check in with yourself. You know, you can set an alarm, you can do whatever. You know, it can be a random time that you're in the car, it can be when you're at home. Just say, "Hey, how am I feeling?" And here's what's really great about that. When you check in with yourselves at random times, you get that ability to be able to check in with yourself when you need it the most, right? When you're just about to say, "I want that large pizza." Right?
Yeah, because it becomes your habit to check in with yourself rather than just to go on autopilot and just react to something.
So this is what we want you to do. We just want you to develop a simple language around what you're feeling. And the way to do that is just check in with yourself at random times and see what you might be feeling at that time. You can jot it down or you can just make a note of it. So with that, we're going to wrap up part two, and we will see you for part three. And again, always send us any feedback, coaching@peertrainer.com. We love your questions. And we will see you then.
Bye.